Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for waiting, and welcome to the conference call of the Volksbank. Presentation, strategic plan, 2021 to 2025, and 2020 results. Hosted by Martin Ribnau, CEO, and Marcel Klopper, Director of Balance Sheet Management of the Volksbank. At this moment, all participants are in listen-only mode, and after the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. I would like to hand over the conference to Mr. Martin Ribnau. Go ahead, please.
Thank you all for taking the time to listen to our analyst call. Let me start on a personal note. I feel truly honored to work for the Volksbank and in that way contribute to Dutch society. I really came for this bank, the bank with a human touch, creating value for its customers, society, and employees and shareholders, always with the aim to optimize the total value rather than maximizing, you know, a single value. Having said that, let's go to the strategy, and I'm now on slide 3. I try to spend around 15 to 17 minutes on this presentation. Marcel will spend around 10 minutes, so we have ample time for your questions. There are two pillars for our growth. Is one, being recognized in 2025 as the bank with the highest customer relationship score in the Netherlands and with the largest societal proven impact. We can build on 4 very strong brands with focus on different customer groups. We will broaden our range of products and services to become more relevant and really will start booming our SME business. We will focus up to 10 employees, which is 90% of the whole SME business in the Netherlands, which is kind of the motor within the motor of the economy. We need to be faster, more digital, and more agile. We consider it as a little bit too complex. I heard that also internally in the organization. For that reason, we will implement a uniform agile way of working. Agile is an expensive word for having autonomous teams, multifunctional teams, focused around a specific task or service. This approach will result in a more efficient and flatter organization. Unfortunate, I had to announce that we'll reduce 400 to 500 employees. We don't have a cost strategy. I don't believe, you know, you shrink yourself to glory. However, we need to be faster, quicker, and more agile, and that will lead to a reduction of employees. In addition, because we have still growth opportunity, we will expand our employee base depending on the growth. We also will form an executive committee. We will expand our team. We will not add a layer. Let me just be very clear. We will not add a layer, but expand our team with a CIO, which is very logical if you want to become a customer and IT organization. IT should be in your top team. We also believe, and I personally always believe, that your chief human resource officer should be in your top team. If you look at your investments, 80% is always in employees and technology. And we will add a chief transformation officer to facilitate our change modes. In our strategy, and now on page 4, we build on our strength. Really strong brands with a high net promoter score. However, despite, but we don't capitalize on that, because one of our challenges is that our product density is relatively low. So we have an extremely strong willingness from customers to buy our products, but we don't offer those products. So our product portfolio is too small, and we need to expand that. We have an extreme cost-efficient distribution model based on a franchise model, which are entrepreneurs, which will help us also with our small, with our SME proposition, because SMEs attract SMEs. And we are an extremely purpose-driven organization with very high remarks from our employees, and they are very passionate and driven. And that's a true asset. It's very difficult to develop a purpose-driven organization. And obviously, we can be very humble with the enormous capital position we have. Again, the challenges, one of the most important important one is to deal with the low density of our customer. Besides, obviously, the long for low, the low for long. And we are behind in our digital footprint. We need to speed that up. We have, although we have one common platform for our four brands, it's pretty monolithic. So step by step, we should create a more modular IT infrastructure footprint. And we are too complex, and it can be all a little bit more faster, more result-oriented in our culture and the way we handle. If you turn your page to slide 5, you see the strategy on one page. So one, we want to be recognized by a strong customer relationship, which then turns into a higher product density per customer, and want to be recognized by social impact. We will grow through our four brands in different ways. So ASN Bank is our digital sustainable bank, which will accelerate and want to have over 1 million customers, I think, in 2025. SNS, we are targeting a younger customer group and will strengthen our business model with more fee-based income, either on mutual funds or product from third parties. RegioBank is really strong in small villages, and we expand our footprint there as well. And if you look at our BLG Wonen, I have no clue how you pronounce that in proper English, by the way, we'll expand our distribution network. We have so much more opportunities to expand that, and we needed to boost up our service, and we already did that to earn back market share on that end. Our five necessary transformations to underpin those growth opportunities. One, digital and omnichannel. I already shared that. But we always will do that in combination with our shops. Always. So it's always close and personal. So for us, a customer is not your mobile number or mobile. It's always the person behind it. We already said we expand our product assortment and our new proposition, small business. Customer Bank Foundation is making our IT platform more modular. And customer focus is our agile transformation. And in addition, we also will focus on being efficient on the balance sheet side and more flexible. We will focus what we're good at. So we're not distracted on the things which don't help you with a differentiated factor to the market. I'm now turning to page 6. This is really unique. It's really unique to have four brands on one single platform. And those brands are really focusing on this different customer groups who have different motives to bank with us. I will not repeat what I already explained. However, let me touch one thing more. So it's really crucial. RegioBank and SNS are partly franchise driven. That is a true asset. That in combination of digital is a true high-touch, high-tech combination. And obviously, your shop should be cost-effective, but we believe in our franchises, in our shops. If you move to the next page, this is a slide I made myself, so it's probably too complex, but let me try to explain that. In 2025, what you will see again is four brands which have grown their footprint based on a single platform. And what you have seen is a higher societal impact, an improved customer relationship, and more multi-customers, which obviously helps you with your income. On top of that, we will be much more digital than we are today. We are lagging behind. We'll speed that up. And we'll use digital always in combination of our shops. And we will lay out the function and the form of the shops, depending what your customers want. In a previous life, I was responsible for developing online banking in the Netherlands for another company. I always was naive in that time. It was in the 90s that you never needed a shop. That is just not true. Customers still want to visit a shop to be served. Our organization will be recognized as being flat. We much more focus on output, on result, and autonomous teams. We are a little bit hierarchical today, but will really work for much more autonomous teams, which will get the decision power to act fast. And we have a next generation of infrastructure, and as I already shared, our technology platform will be much more built modular as we have today. I'm turning now to page 8. How do you measure our results in 2025? Where can you keep me accountable for? Is to have a net promoter score weighted for all our brands of plus 13. We're today at plus 2, and we were far under 0 5 years ago. And we have 1.3 active multi-customers. We'll be climate neutral, bigger than 75%. And today we hit, I believe, we're tipping the 60%, and in 2030 we want to be 100% climate neutral. And genuine attention of 7.5 is a true asset. It's a combination of passion and intrinsic motivation for the bank, let me say it that way. And return on equity in about 5 years will be around 8% with a dividend payout 40 to 60% based on net profit. Our capital ratio, we are blessed, will be still very high. And the cost-income ratio will be around 75 to 60%. That is the strategy moving forward. Let me just take back a few. No, let's go back to the future or go back to the past and say a few words about our 2020 results. And I'm now turning to page 10. I will pick out a few things. In general, we are outbeating all the objectives set, you know, 5 years ago. And if you compare to 2019, you see an improvement, but on return of equity and profit, obviously, driven, mostly driven, by all the COVID situation. And we put a restructuring provision already this year. That's the key takeaway and the so what. Our market share grown on all areas. But mortgages, for two reasons. People paid off their mortgage, and our service was just not on par enough, and we lost, for that reason, we lost market share. If you look at today, we're already improving on that issue. I will not spend time on slide 11 because I think I already addressed most of all the issues. So please be so kind to turn over to slide 12. I already mentioned, you know, that our climate-neutral balance sheet rose to nearly 60%, but we are very proud that we were the first in Europe issuing a green Tier 2 bond. But, you know, far more important is that we were able to help and support our customers in unprecedented times. You can say that 2,000 customers with financial problems is just relatively a small amount, but for the customer, it has major impact on their families and on their businesses. So it's relatively small. And by the way, 2/3 of the customers already went back to resume to their payments. But this is where you make a difference for your customers as well in tough times. I think it's now time to turn over the page to Marcel. Marcel, maybe you can be so kind to share a little bit more about the financials over 2020, and maybe you can give your outlook over 2021. Marcel, yes. The word is yours.
Thank you, Martijn. My name is Marcel Klopper. I'm Director of Balance Sheet Management of the Volksbank, and I will lead you through the financial results. Starting on page 14, we see that the net profit in 2020, which was a special year due to COVID-19, came in at 174 million, down 101 million versus 2019. Of this decrease, 34 million was attributable to the net impact of a restructuring charge related to the transformation to a new organizational structure and the working method. Adjusted for this incidental item, net profit decreased by 67 million to 208 million. This meant that return on equity amounted to 5.1%, and adjusted for incidental items, return on equity amounted to 6.1%, compared to 7.7% in 2019. I would like to guide you through the drivers of this result on page 15, starting with total income, which was 1% lower, mainly as a result of lower net interest income. Net interest income declined by 25 million to 850 million at 3%, which was mainly driven by lower income for mortgages, reflecting a high number of early renewals and renewals in itself in the low interest rate environment, which was partly compensated by higher compensation for loss of interest on account of early repayments, and lower interest expenses related to retail savings. As a result, the net interest margin dropped from 1.37% in 2019 to 1.30% in 2020, which was both driven by lower net interest income and by a higher balance sheet total. Net fee and commission income slightly increased when adjusted for the reclassification of the franchise fees paid by Regiobank. It's up by approximately 2 million. If you look at the other income, you see an increase from 3 million in 2019 to 27 million in 2020. This increase was mainly attributable to the results of our treasury, which made use of the circumstances on the financial markets. Then going through the operating expenses on page 16, they were 14% higher in 2020 than in 2019. This was largely due to the restructuring charge of 45 million in 2020 and 9 million higher regulatory levies. Adjusted for the restructuring charge and the regulatory levies, operating expenses were up 24 million to 557 million. This was partly due to higher staff costs as a result of wage inflation and an increase in the number of FTE. In addition, consultancy and IT costs were up. On the cost income ratio, which went up from 57.3% in 2019 to, adjusted for the restructuring charge, 60.3% in 2020. Then I would like to take you to page 17, the loan impairments. The loan impairments in banks are driven by the economic outlook as a result of the IFRS 9 application, which means that future macroeconomic scenarios determine what your provisions are. As 2020 was a special year with COVID-19, and a lot of impact on the macroeconomic scenario, we saw a significant deterioration of the macroeconomic scenario in 2020. This deterioration resulted in a change in the loan impairment charges from minus 7 in 2019 to an addition of 38 in 2020. However, if we look at the underlying portfolio performance, we see that our clients are still in relatively good shape at the moment, because the arrears only increased from slightly below 500 million in total at the end of 2019 to 552 million at the end of 2020. In addition, the quality of the mortgage portfolio increased significantly as the average loan to value decreased from 67% to 61%. The capitalization of the bank remains strong in 2020. Capitalization, the Common Equity 1 ratio decreased from 32.6% to 31.2% at the end of 2020 due to an increase of 652 million in RWA. This RWA increase was mainly a result of the expected impact of an update which takes place in Q1 2021 of our internal AIRB model. We have already included the impact of this update in our capital figures as per year-end 2020. In addition, our leverage ratio increased slightly from 5.1% at the end of 2019 to 5.2% at the end of 2020. The slight increase was driven by an increase in Common Equity Tier 1 capital on the one hand, and a very limited increase of the leverage ratio exposure measure due to temporary COVID-19 relief measures from the ECB to include certain central bank exposures from the denominator. For 2020, we will propose a dividend of 104 million, which is a payout ratio of 50% of the adjusted net profit and 60% of the net profit. We will only pay out this dividend for 2019 and 2020 when and as far as it is in accordance with the ECB recommendation to make such payments. On page 19, we guide you to the development of the CET1 ratio in 2020. And there you see there is someone on hold, I think. Maybe you could...
Yeah, I found the line. Please continue.
An impact for 2020. We've also shown the impact of Basel IV. Basel IV fully phased in as per 2020 would have meant a decrease in the Common Equity Tier 1 ratio of 7% from 31% to 24%. So even after Basel IV is fully phased in, we will still have a very strong Common Equity Tier 1 ratio. Then I will give you our outlook for 2021. In 2021, we expect market interest to remain very low. Our net interest income in 2021 is expected, therefore, to be lower than in 2020, especially as a result of lower interest income on our mortgages in a sustained low interest rate environment. We expect the operating expenses, excluding the one-off restructuring charge of 45 million in 2020, be higher in 2021 compared to 2020, which will be mainly driven by expenses relating to a new strategy. And given our risk profile, we expect the impairment charges on loans and advances to be lower in 2021 compared to 2020. However, due to the COVID-19 situation and the impact on the economy, economic developments in the Netherlands are very uncertain. All things considered, we expect net profit for 2021 to be lower compared to 2020. If we then look back to the results of 2020, we would like to say that we are satisfied with the results of 2020, given the COVID circumstances. And we believe that a solid capitalization is a good basis for the implementation of a new strategy. Martijn, I would like to hand over to you again.
Well, then I will directly hand it over for an opening for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will start a question and answer session now. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. For questions, star 1. Go ahead, please. for questions. Star one, go ahead, please.
That our story was so clear and concise.
Ladies and gentlemen, the floor is open for questions. You may press star one for questions. I have a question from Mr. Albert Ploeg from ING. Go ahead, please. Your line is open. Go ahead, please.
Apologies, I hope you can hear me now. Good morning. It's Albert Ploeg from ING. Thank you for the presentation. A few questions from my end on the let's say the new strategic direction. Let's say on the cost income ratio, and of course we all very well aware of the dynamics on the NII that are still quite fierce. I also noticed you mentioned digitalization, IT infrastructure. How should I see the glide path, let's say, on the cost base? Because you're targeting for 21 to be basically higher when we ignore the restructuring costs taken. So it feels that maybe first you need some investments and later the benefits come. So is it a bit of a back-end loaded kind of plan on the cost base? So that's my first one. The second one, on the NII dynamics, can you give some feeling from, let's say, the kind of replicating portfolio headwind you see on an annual basis from here? And also maybe on the production on the mortgage margins. You read that there's a lot of competition heating up in the Dutch market. Can you confirm this? What's the difference you have on the front book on the new production and the back book currently? That will also be helpful. Thank you.
Thanks for your questions. Let me answer them in the following order. I will start with the mortgage, then we'll answer your question, or I try to answer your question around your cost-income ratio. And if you start asking me questions about hedging and dynamic questions, I really need the support from Marcel on that one. But Marcel, please feel free, as always, to interrupt me when you feel appropriate. To start on the mortgage side, we lost mortgage share for couple of reasons. One, people paid off their mortgage, but mostly because we didn't do a good of enough job in our pricing and in our service. We were just behind our service organization, so we need to fix that. And you'll know as well that if you don't have good service, especially not if you deal with intermediaries, that doesn't help you with your market share. Fortunate, we see there already an uptick in our market share. Obviously, as a bank, you're not an insurance company, we cannot play and win in the 30 years, so we need to have smart solutions for that, and we will continue to focus on mortgage. To diversify our income, obviously, we'll also start focusing on the small, medium-sized firms. Then on the mortgage share, on the market share, that needs to go up and is going up. If you look at cost-income ratio, you have two sides on the cost-income ratio, cost and income. We have a strategy which is focused on both. You can say Cruyff, famous Dutch soccer player. I'm a soccer fan. Every negative has its positive. We are blessed with a bank which has a very high net promoter score for most of all our brands, but with a low product density because we don't offer all the products. So there's still an upswing. We invest in that growth. Obviously, alignment, some of the investments go before, the benefits, but we will do that very diligently. We will not over-invest if your growth is not there. That's one. Another investment we need to do is in our customer engagement platform. That's becoming more digital. So in that sense, costs go before the results. I will stop here and check if I answered those questions before I go to the third one. So did I answer your question around mortgage and the cost-income ratio appropriate, Albert?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for your caller.
I want to be sure I'm always clear that it was my education by my former employer, which you happen to know. Then I go to Marcel. Marcel, can you please answer the question and insights about margin and hedging and dynamic hedging?
Yes, I will. First, Albert, on your question about mortgages, the returns on our mortgage book, both new production and also renewals, have been relatively high the last year. This is also a consequence of the fact that the swap rates, the market rates decreased faster than the mortgage rates. And as a result of that, we've seen good margins in 2020. However, as you say, there is a significant decrease in rates over the last couple of months. And we see margins now going back to, I would say, normal again, rather than being very low. But they are under pressure. And if I think there is, at the moment, the room for further mortgage rate compression is I would say low if you look at the underlying costs. But at the moment, I would say we are in a more normalized situation in terms of the returns in the mortgage book, and they may be on the lower side. Looking at the portfolio impact, that impact is continuing as of 2018 already. The residential portfolio, as with all the Dutch banks, assumes that we continue to reduce our savings rates. And as you have noticed in the market, that is not what banks do. When we near the 0%, we are very, very cautious of our societal responsibility. And we are very careful not to reduce too fast, as a result of which the margin on our savings portfolio has been decreasing over the last years. And this is the same for the Volksbank as it is for other banks, although we had a bit more room in our margin than other banks. And it's now, I would say, as with most banks, it's nearing the cost price. So margin is shrinking heavily in our savings book. Is that and we'll keep on shrinking, by the way, if we would not act. And that's why we will introduce negative savings rates for accounts above 250,000 as of the 1st of March.
That's clear. Thank you. Thank you for the explanations.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any more questions, please press star 1. For questions, star 1. Go ahead, please. For questions, star 1. Go ahead, please. There are no further questions. Please continue.
Closing out. I will count to three. One, two, three. If there are no more questions, I want to thank you for your time and for your interest in our company. If you have additional questions, please reach out to Jacob, and we will answer your questions as swift as we can. Wish you another great day.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call. You can now disconnect your line. Thank you for attending and have a nice day.